Can you open your Bibles to Psalm 89? Verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn on the day of my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Ephesians 5:19. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And then Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. If you notice, I'm going to talk about songs. You know, singing and songs are a wonderful ministry, and really thankful for all of you that really use your ministry in song here and edify the saints. That's a real blessing. And these verses really bring out that we should have songs in our hearts. And even later on in this Psalm 89, even if you say, well, I can't sing, he says, blessed in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful noise, the joyful sound. So maybe yours is just a joyful sound and you can't quite sing it. But we sing in our hearts to the Lord. Songs and singing is really a gift of God. Job tells us that the morning stars at creation sang together. And singing and poetry is really an elevated form of speech. And that's why it's kind of, singing is so apt in lifting up our voices of worship to the Lord. And the Lord gave us song as His gift. It's built into the physics of the universe, the music. Now, just like many things, the enemy has taken what God has given as such a wonderful thing to praise Him, have corrupted it. We can even find ourselves, you know, you can take a wonderful tune and you can put lousy words to it, and yet you find yourself singing it. You know, you get the best singer, one of the best singers in the world, to sing it, and before you know it, you repeat it, and you're humming the tune, and you're singing about, the greatest love of all is to love myself. You know, all these lies that come. So the enemy can use song in a corrupt way, just like he takes any good thing and he corrupts it. Sin is a corruption, much of it, of the good blessing that the Lord has given to us. But songs are powerful. Singing is powerful. We were at the concert last night, This is just an aside. But I was thinking about, you know, when they warm up in the concert, you have all this, everybody's, all this cacophony of music. And then the director comes out, and they're all looking on the same page as the composer. And all this beautiful music comes. And I think, I thought, you know, that's really a good illustration of evolution and creative design. Evolution says everybody's over there warming up, playing their own thing, and give it enough time and chance, they'll come up with Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. It doesn't work that way. I don't care how long you have these people over here doing that, you will never, never come up to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, because his Fifth Symphony requires a creator. Intelligent design, a composer, and everybody's on the same page doing just the right thing, playing just the right notes. And, you know, it's only in the physics of music, and I'm not a music major, but I do know a little bit in the physics, it's built into physics that certain notes go together and others do not. And God has made it that way because He wants song to be a part of our daily life. Just like this, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Do you sing in your heart to the Lord? Is that a daily thing? God knows the power of keeping those songs and the mercies of the Lord focused in our hearts daily to keep us from thinking wrong thoughts, from getting depressed. Yeah, you can get depressed easily when your mind is focused on other things. But to be singing to the Lord in our hearts is a great power. Story is told of you. I don't know if you've ever read much of the history of modern Israel. But many Jews started going back to Israel and setting up the kibbutzim throughout the land. And there was a lot of conflicts between them and the Arabs even before 1948. A lot of Arab riots. A lot of Arab gangs would attack the Israeli kibbutzim. And at the time, those in the kibbutz took the position that, well, we don't attack, we just defend ourselves. Well, when the British took over the mandate in Israel, there was a captain, a British captain by the name of Ord Wingate. And he was an intelligence officer for the British. Well, if you read the history of Ord Wingate, he was brought up in the Plymouth Brethren and was taught the scriptures about how Israel would one day come back to the land and reestablish the nation of Israel. And he was there during the time of these riots, and he saw himself as a modern Gideon. He was the one, he went to the Jewish agency and offered his services to them. And they were very skeptical because the British hated, most of the British hated the Jews. They were very pro-Arab. And here was this British captain. He's going to come help us. He taught them, he taught the Haganah, the Israeli Defense Forces, before they became the Israeli Defense Forces, how to defend themselves. In fact, Moshe Dayan said he told us, he taught us everything we know. And he said to them, you can't just sit back and wait to be attacked. He taught them modern guerrilla warfare. And small groups of Israelis that would go on the offensive instead of waiting to be crushed by the Arabs. And he came upon them, a group of them one time, it was their night squads, and they were all singing together. They were singing so strongly, so powerfully, He said something like, you know, God cannot but answer, you know, people who sing like this. You know, where the songs, these men went back, looking back to reestablish a nation after 2,000 years in the midst of all the hostilities around them. The power of singing. And God knows the power of singing. But it's singing the right things. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. The mercies of the Lord. The word for mercy in Hebrew is chesed, where you get somebody hear about the Hasidic Jews. And the word is translated loving kindness, mercy throughout Scripture. And usually about the mercies of the Lord. Now, I don't think of the Hasidic Jews necessarily along those lines. They tend to be more separatist and things like that. But we ought to be Hasidic Christians. You know, characterized by grace and love and kindness. And singing. And it starts with what's in our hearts. The mercies of the Lord. Well, what are the mercies of the Lord? Well, look over to Psalm 103. And just came across this again this week. Here's a man, so this is the Psalm of David. He's singing and outlining for us the mercies of the Lord. Starts off, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now here is okay to talk to yourself. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." But he goes on to enumerate. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Count your blessings. He forgives all your iniquities." How would you like all your iniquities up on the board? Be remembered. Things in secret, nobody else knows. He forgives them all. Wipes them all away. He heals all your diseases. If you ever think you have it tough, go to a hospital. And if you ever go to a children's hospital, you know, some of the things that young children with leukemia or with other deformities have, it'll break your heart. If you get down about things in your own life and depressed because, oh, this has happened to me and that's happened to me, count your blessings. Go and see what other people are going through. Go visit people in the hospital. People who have no family or friends to visit them. Nobody that cares for them. When our son Andrew was just a child, he got blood poisoning. And it was kind of following the vein up in his leg. So we had to go in the hospital on a weekend to IV treatments. But there was a little boy there, a dwarf. And his mother was saying, this is like he's there again for another operation, like his 23rd operation. And he was like 3 years old. And these people are from Ohio, and they're in Baltimore. And they have to change their whole life to take care of their little child. Forget not all his benefits. He heals your diseases. Bless the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He goes over and over and again to count the mercies of the Lord. And one word that's been used over and over again in Romans is the word mercy. God's mercy to us. His mercy to Israel. His mercy to the whole world. His desire to see all saved. So no wonder that song is such a part of the Christian life. And how many songs are there in Scripture? The song of Moses, deliverance from Israel. Isaiah, Deborah, Solomon, Song of Songs. David. Over and over again you have these songs of praise to the Lord. And poetry. Poetry is a large part of the Old Testament. And also some songs in the New Testament. It also is an elevated form of speech. Now, singing, you know, we don't go around normally as if we're in a musical talking to each other. Says, how are you? I'm wonderful. Yeah, going through a song like a musical. That's not the normal way we speak. But there's something in us that responds to a musical, to singing out those songs. And same thing about poetry. We don't talk to each other in verse. We do it in prose. But verse is, it's an elevated form of speech. And there's many, Neil was speaking about it the other week, about Hebrew poetry. There's, and it's very hard to translate into another language, but you have, what we think of poetry as an agreement in sound, in rhyme. You know, if I'm putting together a poem, the one word sounds like the next one, etc. That's one form of poetry. Another form of poetry is an agreement in time, in tempo, in rhythm. There's a certain structure on the way you speak. Another form, which is very much Hebrew poetry, is an agreement in ideas. You see it in Proverbs a lot. Well, he'll state one. Make one statement, and then the following one is to restate it in different words, but restating and strengthening the previous phrase. Or you take the first phrase, and then you do the opposite for the next phrase. That's another form of poetry. Another one you find in Scripture is agreement in structure. Like Psalm 119, 176 verses, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, times 8, gives you 176 verses, because the first 8 verses all start with the letter Aleph, or letter A in English, Hebrew letter. The next 8 all start with the letter Beit, B. And so on, all through the Hebrew alphabet. So there's a particular structure that's put on words. And it's an elevated form. And it takes a lot more effort than just writing out prose. You know, in our hymn book, you think about the people that wrote those songs. The meditation that they put into it. And then they put it in poetry, then set music to it. And we sing these songs and they still speak to us as we lay hold of it. Think of one time at a conference we studied the messianic verses from the book of Isaiah. And you take each passage and see how they looked at Christ and occupied us with Christ. Well, Handel took those same verses and he wrote the Messiah. And in a very short period of time, to honor the name of the Lord, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And it's a wonderful ministry to sing of the Lord, but it's not limited to those who can sing. It's for each one of us, as Paul tells us. That's part of being filled with the Spirit. A person who's filled with the Spirit is filled in their hearts with songs of Christ. Now let me ask you, this last week, how much has your heart been filled with song to the Lord? You know, you just see something and triggers in your heart praise to the Lord for His goodness. You know, you hear a bird singing. You see, that bird's praising the Lord. In fact, all creation is praising Him. Except for mankind, we seem to be the worst. You know, we're clearly falling. There's so much good things there God has given to us. To look up and praise Him and see the corruption around. But so much creation declares the glory of the Lord. Sing to the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. How often? Forever. Always. Only when things are going well with you? No. Paul and Silas in prison, mistreated for the gospel, are singing praises to the Lord out loud. The prisoners heard them. What a testimony. What power. And when the building shakes and everybody's chains are loosed, none of those prisoners fled. But the guard runs into Paul and Silas. What a testimony. What must I do to be saved? You have something I don't have. Because nobody acts like that. The Lord Jesus and the disciples. The Lord Jesus sang. They sang a hymn. Then went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Even in this psalm, if you read through it, he goes through and he lists all the great things God had done for Israel over the years. And then at the end of the psalm, towards the end of the psalm, he says, but Lord, they've treated the enemies, come in and destroyed our city and our temple. They've treated us so badly. Where's all these promises that you gave us? It doesn't look like all those promises. And sometimes we feel that way. Well, look, Lord, I read all these scriptures about all these things about you and what's happening here in my life. And we focus on the negative things that happen and forget all His blessings. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Never give up focusing on Him. Thank Him. Praise Him every day, every moment. And then he repeats the same thing, this poetry. Similar thing. I'll make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Great is Thy faithfulness in the Book of Lamentations. Book of Lamentations. They have reason to lament. And he said, great is Thy faithfulness. In the midst of it all, though the harvest, you know, the fig tree doesn't bear any fruit, all these bad things are happening, yet in the midst of that, I will trust in the Lord. Because He's always the Lord. He's always in control. When you're out in the Sea of Galilee and a great storm comes up and you seem like you're perishing and going to drown, the Lord is still in control. And even though you say, Lord, don't you care that we perish, the Lord gets up and calms the sea. You wonder, who's going to move the stone away? It's too great. And you go there, you find the stone's been moved already. How often has that been the case? We wasted all that worry on things that never happened. As if worrying can ever change anything. But it's here. I'm going to make known your faithfulness. God is faithful. Go through a study of how God is faithful in 1 John 1:9, He's faithful to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 9, He's faithful to confirm us to the end. 1 Corinthians 10, He's faithful not to allow us to be tempted above we're able. He's a faithful and merciful high priest. He's the faithful witness. God is faithful. And I'm going to share to others that He is faithful. Always faithful. And who should I share that with? To all generations. You know? If you're parents, you have a responsibility to share with your children His faithfulness, His mercies. If you have grandchildren, that's the next generation. You share with your grandchildren, God is faithful. Your great-grandchildren, it's your responsibility to make known His faithfulness to all generations. What a legacy Paul could write to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I am so thankful for your genuine faith, which first was in your grandmother. Then it was in your mother. And it's also in you. Now that's a spiritual inheritance. You know, the grandmother passes it on to the mother, to the son, and his mother's husband was a Greek. Was probably not a believer. But what a wonderful home that was, of the light of the Lord, the mercies, the songs of the Lord, the faithfulness of the Lord in that home affected Timothy as a young man. And all these blessings that we have are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he goes on to say. His mercy is built up forever, His faithfulness to the very heavens. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. It's all based on God's promises to David that his son would rule and what his son would do. The sure mercies of David, the promises of David, were absolute and sure. And you can bank on them. And the Lord Jesus, that's why so often, you know, Paul again writing to Timothy says that he's of the seed of David. What Neil had before us, God hasn't given up on his promises to Israel through the Messiah. You know, in many places, a couple of places, at least in the Psalms, and the prophets, he said, if the laws of the universe, of the sun and the moon, change, then I have given up my promises to Israel. Think about it. If God's laws changed, the only reason we have modern science today is because of Christians who read the scriptures and say, well, God has laws. He's an orderly God who keeps His promises. And I should expect to see that I can set my time on the stars and on the moon and predict when it's going to rise and fall and all the astronomical things that they can predict. Because God is a God of order. He keeps His promises. What if He wasn't sovereign? What if He lied? You'd have no hope of anything. You don't know what happened tomorrow. You couldn't count on anything. But God, His promises to David, the man after His own heart, all centered in His Son, And in that Son, the Lord Jesus, He gave us all a reason to sing. He put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And as we had this morning, that's all, this is only the beginning of singing. There's going to be singing in eternity, and we're going to all see Him and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And so I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. May each one of us be none of these things are new to us. Maybe we just have to be reminded daily. Let your heart be filled with song in praise of the Lord. It'll change your attitude. It'll change you from negativity and complaints to praise and worship when you realize how much God has done for us. How much, I mean, things, that's just the things that we can imagine, we know. There are things that we don't even know. His angels did something there that kept us from getting into an accident, or kept our child from breaking his neck, or drowning, or how many hundreds of other things that could happen in our life. God showed His mercy to us over and over again. And He wants us to be a thankful people and a people that are filled with song for Him. Shall we pray? Lord, You have given us reason to sing. We see the world around us drumming up reasons to sing, but they don't have any good reasons. We have such a wonderful reason, Lord. Your love, Your mercy, Your faithfulness, all that You have done and continue to do for us. Lord, we thank You and praise You. And help us to have a song in our hearts every day, continually, to sing Your praises. In Your worthy name, amen.